Please stand by. Good day, and welcome to the IBM OmegaMon 4.1 Update New Version conference call. This call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Joani Kines. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, James, and welcome to all of our customers that have joined us for this teleconference. First of all, I would like to go through some housekeeping items. As James stipulated, this call is going to be recorded. We will get an MP3 file that basically will be available to any customer that wants to either listen to the teleconference again or maybe pass it to somebody else in their company for review. You just need to send me an email after this call letting me know that you want to receive the MP3 file, and it will be available about a week from today, and I will make that MP3 file available to everyone. Second, I know that most of you got the presentation material, but there were a couple of customers that have a problem with the size of receiving a file. I am in the process of trying to set up an FTP site in which I'm going to post the presentation and let everybody know that they can actually go ahead and download the presentation material. So I apologize for that. It just so happened that the file was way too big. Okay, with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce the speaker for today, and I'm going to let Steve take it over. Basically, our speaker for today is Stephen Hackenberg. Stephen is a certified consulting IT specialist on the Tivoli Performance Automation Group within IBM Software Group, and he's basically going to walk us through all of the great and exciting things that are coming up with OmegaMon 4.1, and he will also talk about some of the integration we're now doing with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So with that, I'll turn it over to Stephen. We will have questions and answer session. We'll allow like about 10 minutes after the presentation, and hopefully you guys will have a chance to ask any questions you might want, okay? So with that, Stephen, take it over.
To those of you that are out here on the West Coast with me, I'm in Long Beach, California, in a hotel room actually, I will say good morning, and to those of you back east, good afternoon. As was suggested, what we're going to be discussing today is kind of what we've been up to the last year and a half with these new releases coming out and what our direction is and what we're trying to accomplish with it. I'm currently on slide number one, going to slide number two. Basically, we'll talk for a few minutes about our evolving business needs and why it is that we're taking the direction we are. We'll also be looking at the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and how we're integrating it with a lot of our other products. And then we'll get to the meat of things, which is what's new and exciting in OmegaMon XE 4.1. The performance management on ZOS will also be mentioned. That's the part of it's the what we call the ZOS management console and some work we're doing in that area. Let us go to slide number three. I feel to some extent I'm preaching to the choir when I put a slide like this up because obviously our business models are changing drastically. Think about it. You know, 10 years ago, did your company even have a website? And did you have distributed applications and things like that? And, of course, compliance is becoming, the big subject of today, both in the areas of security and also regulations like Sarbanes-Oxley and things of that sort. And, of course, complexity goes without saying. Everybody's got a much more complex network with feeds coming into the mainframe from all over the place. And the last item on this slide, cost, is something that I sort of felt we should have made number one. It is our goal to work towards helping data centers reduce total cost of ownership. And that's one of the reasons why the Tivoli brand has been out making a lot of acquisitions. I think we had 11 in 2006. And those acquisitions are to fill in the gaps of things that we don't do and it's easier for us to buy rather than try to develop in-house. Let's move to slide number four. This is the one that's actually, I find, quite amusing. This is this very complex architectural diagram of one particular organization. This is a real, honest-to-goodness diagram that came from one of our customers, and it's actually only one of two. And the original diagram was actually printed out on this huge sheet of paper that they hung up on the wall. And when I saw that at first, it kind of got me thinking about my life at IBM and the fact that we have our own internal intranet at IBM, of course, and from that intranet I can have things pushed over to Lotus Notes. I have access to mainframe applications, including things like TSO. It's quite extensive. They even have our phone mail system tied into our Lotus Notes, so that anytime I get a voicemail, I get an email message. So it's getting extremely complex within IBM even, and we have tons of servers all over the place just for all this stuff to hang together. Let's move on to slide number 5. Now, of course, another thing we see in organizational complexity is the fact that, you know, not too many years ago, all you had was like a DB2 DBAs, and you had a ZOS mainframe person, and you had or two, and you had a CICS person or two, and so on. And of course, these days, now that we have distributed platforms coming into the mix in a very popular way, we actually have DBAs for UDB, which is an entirely different discipline than necessarily on the mainframe, and we have, you know, Unix administrators and things like that. So trying to manage all of this stuff is getting extremely complex. Let's move to slide number 6. Now, the thing that I find of most interest here is that you notice that there is a flat line to maybe slightly declining in new server spending. And the thing that I like to emphasize in this particular area is that they're talking about the actual revenue stream, but that in no way indicates that we're shipping less what's called horsepower than we did, say, 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, the latest number I heard was that IBM ships an average of 20 to 24% more MIPS year over year, every year, which means that the importance of the servers and the horsepower that we put on the floor is expanding at a rapid rate, but the cost of those servers is actually declining faster than the increase in the power of the servers. And I think that's a more telling statement to make than talking about the revenue itself. So let's actually move on to slide number 7. First of all, we want to talk about the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and how we're integrating it with our complete end-to-end systems management solution. Let's move to slide number 8. Now, when we look at the end-to-end management from a Tivoli perspective, we're looking at things like ITM version 6.1. That's the monitors for our distributed platforms. We have the Tivoli Enterprise console, which has been around for quite a few years, and it is now adopting the Tivoli Enterprise portal. And then we have all the Omegamons, which is where the portal actually started, and we're actually going to be adopting the License Compliance Manager front end with the portal, and some other things like Tivoli Workload Scheduler, the health checker on ZOS, SA4Z is now adopting the portal front end also. And those things appear down below. Also, NetView. NetView itself actually adopted the portal front end. Okay, let's go ahead and move over to slide number 9. Now, what the ultimate goal is that we want to reach a point where a user can sit down, log on to one internet application, and have access to all or as many as practical tools and products as possible. And that way you never have to, you know, log on more than once, you know, and of course, it goes without saying, in case anyone was wondering, there is an authorities mechanism in the portal that would allow people to be denied access to certain things and so on. So all that's built into the product, and as I said, for now we've got it embedded for the OmegaMon products, for the IBM Tivoli monitoring products, for the management console and Tivoli Composite Application Manager family. And we're continuing to pick up things like workload scheduler, service level advisor, and so on. Okay, let's move. Am I still on? Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, sir. Your mic is still open, Mr. Eichenberg.
Oh, okay. It sounded like my line dropped. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's move to slide number 10. And, of course, this is just a different view of how you can see what we're trying to manage from one single pane of glass. It goes not only across platforms, but also things like databases and applications. And, of course, the ever-so-popular web infrastructure and things like messaging and collaboration. Now, the one I will call your attention to on this slide is the universal agent to the right. What the universal agent does is this. It basically allows you to install a framework and that make that framework part of the Tivoli Enterprise portal and allow you to fill in gaps where we don't necessarily have a specific product. As a matter of fact, we actually have a Skunk Works, I'll call a development group, that if we don't have a specific product that meets a customer's specific need, what we do is we supply the universal agent with a custom-built application that allows it to feed into the portal. So that's something that as I said, helps us with a complete solution. Let's move to slide number 11. This is a picture of the Tivoli Enterprise portal. For those of you that have never seen it, we have the navigation view, which is the upper left-hand corner. That is also where you will actually see alert conditions being displayed for, you know, what we call situations that have been coded. So there's where you look for your red lights. And the kinds of views that you can get, which is the rest of the screen, you have a tabular view, which is what it implies. It's nothing more than a bunch of rows with a bunch of columns that display raw data. That same data can be displayed in a bar chart, in a line graph, in a pie chart, and different things like that. It also allows you to put many products on a single screen. So I could have a OmegaMon for DB2 on the same screen as a OmegaMon for CICS and a OmegaMon for ZOS and all the systems that a particular application might touch. Let's move over to slide 12 now. And, of course, what we're trying to do is build really a monitoring infrastructure. And that's on the bottom. And then on the top, we're talking about actually being able to analyze and measure, in effect, from an end user all the way back to the end user through whatever hops that they need to take. Now, the monitoring infrastructure we see as really four separate and distinct pieces. One is the Composite Application Manager for RTT, which is the response time tracking, and Composite Application Manager for WebSphere and J2EE, and then we have Composite Application Manager for the SOA support, and then we have the monitors themselves. Let's move to slide number 13. Now we'll talk about OmegaMon XE 4.1 and what we've got in the latest release. Let's move to number 14. First of all, we delivered a lot of functions that are available through all the OmegaMon products. So it's really an update to the base of these products that these items are addressing. First of all, we delivered the CCMDB, the Configuration and Change Management Database, the Portal Discovery Library Adapter. And what that amounts to is that if you are developing a CCMDB, all the OmegaMons and the ITM monitoring solutions, all those nodes would feed into that database. We also added globalization to our Group 1 languages, and that is to say that the portal now supports things like French, German, Italian, Japanese, Chinese, and so on. And I might also add, as an ex-developer, boy, is that tough code. It's just very tedious and very complex, but out of respect for our Asia-Pac customers, and, of course, our European customers, it's always been our commitment to try to support that. We also have included with this go-round of releases the extended interoperability capability with dynamic workspace linking. What that basically means is this. You have a capability for creating links, which would take you from, let's say, a list of CICS transactions, take you down to a detailed view of an individual transaction. And what we wanted to do, if customers wanted to link to something else, they could create their own links. And as you can imagine, the linking mechanism was not the easiest thing in the world to use, but it was the thing that allowed us, and you can pass variables along on that link so that you could do something like hop from the CICS transaction to a detailed threat analysis in the DB2 subsystem that the CICS transaction has sent a request to. So what we wanted to do is take away the requirement to code a lot of that stuff and just supply it out of the box. Now by that, what we mean is this. If I have a, let's say, a storage problem, and I'm looking at the ZOS monitor, it may be logical for me to want to jump to the storage product. And so we will analyze in context where we're at, what screen we're on, what view we're on, and what would be the most logical thing for us to jump off to. And we will supply that for you with that kind of embedded intuition, let's call it. And it's proven to be very successful so far, and as we get smarter, we're going to be adding even more. And, of course, we've also added a whole bunch of Z9 information, specifically things like zip engines and zap engines, and even the IFLs that are running on the machine. And, of course, we have day one support for DB2 PEPM for the zip engines. And in that, we actually created a PTF and made it available under the 3.1.0 release, standard ship under 4.1.0. So we are actually doing things like zip address space analysis, number of zips by service class, LPAR data, and what DDF server threads are doing with the zips and so on. One of the key factors from a tuning perspective there being that we want to know when we have zip-eligible work that is not running on a zip, it's spending some of its time on a regular CP, which can be a valuable number to understand if it maybe is time to add another zip engine. So that's our goal for that particular feature. Let's move to slide number 15. We've also extended some of the capabilities in the Tivoli Data Warehouse. We put in what we call pruning and aggregation. And what that allows you to do is some basic summarization and also the ability to prune off some of the older data so that some of that is a little easier to maintain and not subject to someone having to do that themselves. We've also added some IBM support assistance tools, and basically what that amounts to is we're supplying some plugins that allow our level 1 and level 2 support people to, and in some cases level 3, to actually help them do diagnostics. The goal being this, it makes it a lot easier on us to solve a problem, and it makes it a lot quicker for you folks to get a solution. We've also added some problem determination guides. We're doing a lot of work in the area of documentation, and that's proving to be very helpful also. Okay, also support for agent versioning. Now, that's an important factor because, and let me give you a worst-case scenario. We have a very large bank in a South American country, and that very large bank actually has 4,000 Wintel servers running MQ series. And those 4,000 servers are actually running the Omegamon for messaging monitoring agents. Well, as you can imagine, you can't roll out a new release to 4,000 servers on a Saturday night in a couple hours. So what we wanted to be able to do is give people an enhanced capability for doing a softer rollout so that you could accomplish that across, you know, let's say some number of months. And so we want to be upward and downward compatible. We're also making a lot of improvements on the IBM customization assistance tool on the ZOS to help people with creating of the runtime environments. We recognize very clearly that the more we can do to make customization of the products for each individual LPAR easier, the better off we're going to be. And so that's just an ultimate goal. And obviously that's to reduce total cost of ownership. We don't want you to have to labor over rolling the products out. Let's see. Let's move to slide number 16. Now, this is, again, referencing the dynamic workspace linking functionality. And what we're referring to here is that I may want to go from a Omegamon CICS over to a Omegamon for ZOS, or I might want to go to a Omegamon for DB2, or if I'm running DB control, I may want to hop over to a Omegamon for IMS. And then the ZOS product might want to jump over to the management console on ZOS or mainframe networks or something like that. So those are kind of the interrelationships that we're actually supplying with the product out of the box. Let's move to number 17. This specifically is making reference to the Omegamon XE for ZOS itself, version 4.1, which was actually the last one out the door and actually went GA, I think it was third week in January this year. The reason why we held off on that, because the other products GA'd in October, was that we wanted to pick up some new stuff, and that required quite a bit of work. So that's why it was delayed. As I mentioned earlier, we put in ZIP processor usage and reporting, and we also created a PTF that allowed that to be used in the prior release. The basic RMF3 launch and optional RMF collection for coupling facility data was something that we did because if RMF is collecting coupling facility data, that can be a little bit intense. And what we wanted to do was put ourselves in a position where we could say, look, if you want us to just borrow the data from RMF, we'll do that. Otherwise, we'll collect the data ourselves. So you can do it either way, and that helps you with the overhead. We've also added a few more data tokens from the CUA version of the products, the 3270, things such as IO rate by address space and real storage information. We had a couple of data metrics missing for tape drive situation support. We wanted to be able to put in, you know, long tape mount pending and so on. And then the ZOS exploitation, some of the new coupling facility duplexing capabilities we put in, and then PlexWide ZAP support. Also, for those of you that may have an interest in the 3.1 release. If you weren't aware of it, we used to have an OmegaMon for cryptographic coprocessors, and didn't have a very large customer base, but, you know, the product was out there, and we just decided at the 3.1 level we go ahead and merge that in with the ZOS product and, you know, give you more bounce to the buck. And then with the 4.1 release, we've actually taken our OmegaMon XE for Unix system services and combined that with the ZOS product also. And going to slide number 18, this is just an example of some of the new things that we've added to the address-based CPU workspace. Let's go to slide number 19. And let's talk about CICS for a minute. We've enhanced the CICS transaction server support. We have a number of our customers that are starting to get into having web access to CICS, and so we want to put in data about the URI maps so that you can kind of check performance factors on how the pipes are feeding into CICS itself on behalf of what URLs and so on. And some business transaction services support. Recovery Manager, there's still some things that we wanted to put in to show you that you may have some performance bottlenecks in the CICS logger function. And, of course, NQ pool details for recovery purposes. And also, we've put a lot of work into monitoring Java underneath CICS. We have a number of our customers that are starting to get into that pretty heavily, and we wanted to be able to supply that information, including things like time spent on a Zap and so on. And, of course, just the line item notation. Again, we've done some enhancements for dynamic workspace linking. Some additional things that we wanted to migrate from the old CUA and the Cantle Command Center, if you remember that from many years ago, things like service level analysis, we wanted to move that up to the portal as well as the application trace facility. Integration with Kix PA, I don't know how familiar most of you are with Kix PA, but it's the CICS Performance Analyzer, and it's a very, very robust report writer function that is also used to help you possibly research a problem or, you know, try to figure out who the culprit was in a storage violation or something of that sort. The thing that's really cool and unique about it is it also allows you to relate a DB2 accounting record, a 101 record, with the CICS transaction that actually caused it to be generated. So you can see that all in the same report, and that's kind of a real value add, because if, in fact, the CICS transaction were experiencing huge response time, we might get some hints about it if we noticed that the DB2 detail accounting record was actually showing, you know, some weird thing that was being done in DB2. So when we say integration with Kix PA, there were some records that were generated by OmegaMon that were not supported by Kix PA, and there is additional information that's tagged on the end of a CMF-110 record by OmegaMon, and that data previously was not supported by Kix PA, and it is now. For those of you that are familiar with it, we used to put out supplemental data for things like Adabase and Datacom DB and stuff like that, and they went out in the form of an SMF 255 record. We have now changed those records to a type 112 and done some reformatting to make it comply with an IBM structure a little bit better. Something else I always want to mention, while we were doing the integration with Kix PA and changing some of that stuff, one of the developers happened across a couple of areas in two of our exits where we could substantially reduce CPU. Now, of course, nobody wants to go on the record and carve it in stone and say this is how much reduction in CPU you can expect, because the old expression of your mileage may vary certainly applies in this case. But let's just say that some of our own internal benchmarks have shown a 10 or 11% reduction in overhead. I have a couple of sites that I'm working with right now that are running some extremely heavy DB2 applications that I'm kind of anxious to see what the numbers are, because we may be seeing, we might see even a better reduction than that. So anyway, moving over to slide number 20, this is just a sample of the enterprise Java analysis that we're now doing on behalf of CICF. And moving on to number 21, I just wanted to show you a couple of the slides for our Group 1 language support. This actually shows the Tivoli Enterprise portal in Japanese. And I find that quite interesting. It's pretty wild. And if we go to slide number 22, you can actually see basically the same thing in Chinese. Okay, let's go on to slide number 23. Megamana XE for IMS. And by the way, just to mention for those of you that it would be important, a Megamon IMS, there used to be two products. One was called a Megamon XE for IMS. One was called a Megamon XE for DB control. And that was the age-old thing about, oh, you know, this is silly having separate products. Might as well just combine them together and make one. And the reason why is because it is very easy for the underlying monitoring agent to tell whether it's actually monitoring a DB control-only environment or monitoring a full-blown IMS transaction server and DB control environment. And so what we actually did was combine the products, and it conducts itself accordingly. Now, we've made some enhancements to the TRF reporting. We discovered that the Z9 boxes are running things through the machine so quick that we were rounding too many of our numbers down to zero. So what we wanted to do is take some of those things out to millisecond relevancy. DL1 call reporting for full function and fast path WIFI regions, we've got that now. And the high availability local database, we put in some support for that. And DB control detail thread reporting for monitoring activity there. And we've also put in IMS Connect reporting. We have seen an increase in a number of our customers that are running with IMS Connect, and we wanted to be able to put that capability in also. And, of course, the obligatory line item that says we've enhanced the IMS product to pick up more dynamic workspace links. Let's move to slide number 24, and this is just an HALDB summary view that we've I'm showing you an example of. And let's move on to number 25. This is IMS reporting in Japanese. Let's move on to number 26. And by the way, amusingly enough, I think Japan, I don't know if it's still true, but it used to have more IMS transaction server customers than the United States. I don't know what the numbers are now, but I found that kind of interesting. They like the high-tech stuff. Let's move to number 26. There's the IMS reporting in Chinese. Moving to number 27. This is a Megamon XE for DB2 PMPE. Let me just preface my comments with the statement that the DB2, a Megamon for DB2 and DB2 PM performance monitor merger of the two products has been our most challenging one, simply because a Megamon and performance monitor were both very, very good products. So we couldn't just say, well, you know, there's a few minor things that PM does that a Megamon doesn't, so we'll just copy those across and we'll throw away PM. We couldn't do that because there's some very worthwhile collection functions that occur within PM, and we wanted to be able to continue to do that data collection. So ultimately what's going to happen over the next year and a half or so is that you will end up with one front end, one look and feel, and that'll be the portal, the Tivoli Enterprise portal, and you will be left with collectors for both the old Megamon and the old performance monitor all under the covers. So we put in, of course, a lot of support for the zip processor stuff, new DV2 top 10 volume reports for the System Z9 platform. DV2 version 9, day one support. One of the things I like to mention here is that I think you should be clear that it's not like the database group calls the Omegamon developers on the phone every time they change a control block and says, by the way, I'm changing this control block. The Omegamon developers kind of sort of get the information at kind of sort of about the same time as all the other vendors do too. The difference is that we have a very large R&D staff dedicated to the Omegamons, and we're just making a commitment that we want to have day one support for all the new releases. We also have put in some enhanced thread overview information, so we show some additional lock information, change pages and stuff like that. And of course, the dynamic workspace linking. Let's move over to number 28. This is an example of all threads connected to DV2. Slide number 29. This is the Megamon XE for storage, and we've added a new toolkit for DFHSM and DFDSS functions that used to be available in the old CUA, and we wanted to move that up to the portal. And, of course, the top 10 volumes report, new data set attribute database, and new problem-solving workspaces to that's just enhancing what we actually ship with the product so you don't have to make up your own. And you can actually launch the Total Productivity Center, the TPC, from the storage product. Let's move to number 30. This is just an example of a created data set request that you can do from the portal. Number 31. Megamon XE for mainframe networks. This has been a really interesting one. In prior releases, we did not have any VTAM support in the portal itself. The only VTAM support was only available in CUA. What we've done is we've moved a lot of that VTAM support now into the portal so that you can see that right alongside of IP. And we've made some enhancements to FTP information, and we've got some things in mind to improve that in the future, too. And we've also adopted a COM server API to help us with scalability. TN3270 server session workspaces are now being provided. Shows you a lot more metrics than it did before, and then advanced historical reporting in the Tivoli data warehouse. We also have enhancements to the Enterprise Extender reporting and the high-performance router connections. All right, let's move on to number 32. One of the things that I thought was pretty cool was that they decided that they wanted to put the Tivoli Enterprise portal on top of NetView and allow our NetView customers to actually see NetView through the portal rather than having to do it on, say, 3270. When we did that, it gave us the capability for the mainframe networks product to simply not even hotkey. I mean, it's just another line item in a navigation tree. You can jump over to NetView without necessarily even realizing you're switching between products. The data's there, so you hop across. That also allows us to do things like this. If I'm in mainframe networks and I decide I want to do an application or an IP trace, I can hop over to NetView and exploit the IP trace capability. So there's some pretty cool things in there, and I thought that was a real good exploitation of almost like a synergistic relationship. Let's move to number 33. This is just an example of the VTAM buffer pool summary workspace that we've included, as I said, with the new VTAM information. Let's move to number 34. For those of you that may have some interest, we now have a new Omegamon XE for ZVM and Linux. And this gives us the capability for actually monitoring Linux on the mainframe and actually monitoring it also when it's running under ZVM, which is obviously the most commonplace. And we have things like it is a combined monitor. You get both of them at the same time. So you can look at things like overall system health and what the workload metrics are for logged in users, each guest, each Linux guest. You find out what they're up to, and metrics on devices and stuff like that. So we do give a composite view of Z Linux and the way it's actually running. It's part of the VM performance toolkit. Let's move to number 35. Now, this is a new phase to what used to be called the ZOS Health Checker. And basically what we wanted to do is be able to access that from the portal and include that along with all the other products. Let's move to number 36. And, of course, the whole idea was that we want to simplify ZOS operations by using one single user interface. So that actually helps you simplify the whole, you know, once you learn the portal, you know it for a whole lot of products. Okay, let's move to, and by the way, if it needs to be said, that was made available under ZOS 1.4 and higher. Health Checker, of course, being shipped with ZOS itself. And then what we did was we allowed customers to actually download at no charge the Tivoli Enterprise portal to put on top of it. My understanding now is that I guess with ZOS 1.8, I think it was, it's standard ship. So let's move on to slide 37. And this is just an example of the ZOS management console. And let's go to slide 38, and this is the configuration health checks. And let's move on to number 39. And so the highlights of the ZOS management console are coupling facility status reports, coupling facility resource manager status. It's more of a, you know, is it there, is it available kind of thing than anything else. And then LPAR cluster status details for those sharing in an IRD environment. Unix system services data and processes reports. And then, of course, dynamic workspace linking to other products. Let's move to slide number 40. And in summary, what we've done is committed to really bringing all the Z systems up to a single pane of glass and reducing the cost of ownership by having everything fed into one common look and feel. And we want to allow everything to integrate and interoperate. And of course, our complete and total goal is to provide an end-to-end solution. And from time to time, we get customer requests for holes that we haven't filled yet, and that's kind of our hint that maybe we need to go out and look for another product to acquire. So that's how we get to where we are. And at this point, that is all I wanted to present. I think we can open it now for questions if anybody has any.
Thank you, sir. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically today. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Once again, to ask a question on today's presentation, press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. We'll pause for just one moment to allow your signals to reach our equipment. And we'll take our first question from James Belva.
Hi, Steve. Enjoyed your presentation.
Thank you, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, just fine, thanks.
Good.
As we connect all these products and agents into our hub TIMS, which ultimately feeds the portal,
right,
is there a practical limit or rule of thumb as to the number of agents a TIMS or a portal can support, you know, before we start running into, I guess, storage problems or other type of limitations?
Well, as you remember, Jim, from the good old days, when we hit about 500, we started to bog down.
Right.
What I'm being told is that in our labs, we have taken her up over 4,000 before we reach the same point. So we have introduced a whole lot more scalability than we had before.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
And we'll take our next question from Sarah Adams.
Hey, can you talk more about the coupling facility details and the information that we can see on that? And also, is that available in just a PTF for us?
Well, first of all, what we're doing is we had there was just a little bit of additional information that was supplied by Megamon. It wasn't supplied by RMF, and it had to do with usage statistics. And then, of course, we've added some of the duplexing stuff in the latest release. Beyond that, the coupling facility data displayed is what used to be displayed, as well as what RMF used to display. It's just that now what we're doing is restructuring so we don't collect the data twice. That's the important thing.
Okay.
And that gives you, you know, all the information you need about the structures themselves and, you know, what's going on with them and expansions and so on.
Okay.
And as a reminder, that is star one to ask a question on today's presentation. We'll move on to our next question from Paul Wodowski.
Hi, I'm just curious if you can tell us if this product will be able in the future, if we order a server pack, you know, if it'll be bundled in.
I hear you. That's the goal.
Okay.
And let me explain very briefly. The way it's being set up right now is that you can get it all on the same server pack, but it's still a separate entity in and of itself. It's not interspersed with all the other things. Our ultimate goal, and it may take us a few years to get there because it's very complex, would be able to ship all the products out pre-installed with a complete ZOS package and then have you turn on the ones that you're licensed for. I mean, that would be the ideal. We've been positioning ourselves for that for quite a few years by making all of our module names and DD names and everything else unique. You may notice when you do an install that everything begins with a letter K. And we were blessed when it was still the candle days by IBM giving us the letter K. C was already taken. So what we've done is we've try to make sure that everything is unique. We still have a couple of things to straighten out, but we do want to do that ultimately.
Okay.
And we'll move on to our next question from Daniel Lazenby.
Yes. Earlier you mentioned a TEP discovery library. How does that relate to anything like a dependency model library? If at all,
it doesn't. It is strictly in support of the configuration change management database. All we're trying to do is say, if Megamon's out discovering all these CICS regions and DB2 subsystems, wouldn't it be natural for us to plug that into the CCMDB?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As another reminder, that is star one to ask a question on today's presentation. We'll move on to a follow-up question or another question from Ivan Vasquez.
One of the things that you discussed earlier were some changes to the ICAT tool.
Yes.
What are some of those changes that you...
Well, some of the things we've done, and this was one that emotionally we were a little concerned about. We've added some data sets where our goal has always been to reduce the number of data sets, but we actually added a bunch of user data sets to give you an increase in flexibility for things specific to your environment, so that or specific to a particular LPAR without having to do as much work or develop user mods like some of our customers have had to do in the past. We're also expanding our use of what we call system-wide variables to actually be able to use a single runtime environment for multiple LPARs. To be honest with you, I've only ever done one of those installs, and you got to pay close attention because when you got to change one of the values, it's a little tricky to go in and say, now wait a minute, what do I need to change here?
Thanks.
We'll move on to our next question from Sarah Adams.
You basically just answered it, that you can't go in depth as to what you changed in ICAT. I mean, data sets did you change the screens or how they work?
No. Not as a general statement, no. The screens all still look and feel the same. We're just in proving the amount of things that we can duplicate from one runtime environment to another. One of the things that we have on the books to do that, you know, we're obviously not committed to yet is to be able to copy an old environment to a new environment so that you don't have to regenerate all your parameters and stuff like that. You just, when you move up to a new release, you just copy.
I'd just like it to work the way it is first, and then we can go with enhancements, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Once again, that's star one who asked the question today. Moving on to our next question from Rick Rohde. Mr. Rohde, your line is open.
Sorry, sir. How soon can we order this product?
All these products can be ordered right now.
Great.
They're available through Shop Z or whatever those fandangled things are that you folks have to use.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we have a follow-up question from Daniel Lazenby.
Earlier you also mentioned the pruning for the Tivoli Data Warehouse.
Uh-huh.
Is that in 2.1?
2.1? No, it would be with the 4.1.0 release or ITM 6.1 release.
Or the ITM 6.1 release. Okay.
Right. I haven't used that myself yet. I know what the screens look like, but I don't have an environment where I can play with it. But
it more... Right now, pruning requires basically a lot of manual intervention.
Yeah, right. A lot. And that was the whole idea. We wanted to give you some of that capability without you having to and if it satisfies your need just based on what we provide, then you can eliminate the manual processes. That was the whole intent.
Okay, so it's more automated but not fully automated, so to speak.
Yeah, if it's a basic pruning where you say, I want to drop off, you know, anything older than 3 weeks, then we'll do it for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Once again, that's star one who asked the question in today's presentation. We'll go to our follow-up question from Ivan Vasquez.
Yes, I was wondering if you guys had any way, or were thinking of any way, in terms of deployment, how to deploy this a little faster, you know?
Well, that's the whole thought process by making improvements to ICAT. And let me be very frank with everybody. We had a customer advisory council, and the customers that were present for the council meeting were very vocal on, you know, we need to be able to deploy this stuff faster. And when I say very vocal, I mean not just wordy, they were very loud. So as a result, we have taken it as a line item to make improvements with every release on speed of deployment.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
Thank you, James. Let me just summarize a couple of housekeeping items since there was a lot of people that joined throughout the call. As I mentioned before, this call has been recorded, and we will have an MP3 file available that customers can actually request to get, and I will send that MP3 file to anybody. We're also trying to post the presentation in a URL for an FTP file that you guys can download at a later time. So we'll send an email regarding that. And in addition, I wanted to clarify for anybody else in the call that wants to either add additional questions or want to get pricing information on these products or any more detailed information, you can contact your sales rep for the particular region, but if you don't know who that person is, you can definitely send me an email requesting that you want to contact, and I will be more than happy to send you the name and phone number of the IBM sales representative. Okay? So with that, I thank you, everybody, for joining us. And again, if you have any other further questions, you can direct them to me, and I will pass them to Stephen or somebody else in Tivoli that can answer the question. Thank you very much for joining.
And that does conclude today's presentation. We do thank you for joining, and have a wonderful day.